42nd Psalm tonight if we could. I taught this subject, and basically I'm going to use the same notes that I did about a year ago, and you'll see where we're going here. And I felt today, having a conversation with an individual, I just felt the Lord, I feel people are dealing with this topic, and I just, by the help of the Lord, I think we just want to go through it one more time, and I feel we'll be encouraged tonight. Psalms 42, we could please. I'll get there myself in a moment. We want to welcome our live stream audience and our visitors here in the house, and we're just believing God for a good time in His Word. Wednesday nights, we give more to the teaching of the Word. You got to understand, Sunday mornings, we preach most of the time, but we teach too. We preach, teach, amen? And most of the time, you know, there's teaching and preaching, and there's a vast difference between the two. Preaching will always call attention to the truth. It shakes us up. It jolts us. It gets our attention, and it calls attention to God's Word, to the truth that by His Spirit He's trying to bring across to us. Amen? And that's why that's called the foolishness of preaching. Preaching, when somebody gets under the anointing of the Spirit of God, it can look very like this is a spectacle. Amen? But it captures the attention of people's hearts. They tell us in the professional ministry thing, I had a friend of mine that told me their pastors go to school for 12 years to learn how to preach a 17-minute message because you can't hold the people's attention beyond that. But, oh, I say that, boy, it takes you longer to just get into the Word of God. Amen. But when the Spirit of the Lord is anointing what's being said, I mean, you could sit there for 3-4 hours if the Spirit of God is moving. Amen. But if it's not moving, 17 minutes is even too long. Amen. Amen. So understand that. But teaching is where we explain truth. We take a little more time, break it down a little bit, and we allow the instruction of God's Word to come forth. So we're going to read Psalms 42 tonight. And it's a very familiar psalm if you know your Bible. But it's a psalm of David, we believe, even though the heading won't tell you that. But we do believe it's a psalm of David. It says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Amen. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you said that between you and the Lord? When's the last time you told the Lord, my heart longs for you, God. Lord, I long for you. I got to have you. I got to be nearer to you. Amen. Okay, one of us said today, amen. Hallelujah. And don't get under condemnation. I'm not probing your heart to say, you know, like, oh my God, I must not be spiritual. I must not love the Lord. But listen to what David is saying here. He says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And when shall I come and appear before God? Oh, my tears have been my meat day and night. Why, they continually say unto me, yeah, where is your God?" You know, the man is being slandered. Where is your God? You claim to know God. Where is He? Say, you ever been in those times? Amen. He said, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy, and with praise, and with a multitude that kept the holy day. Oh, but why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember you from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites unto the hill Mizar. Oh, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Boy, I love that. My prayer should be to the God of my life. Amen. "And I will say unto God my rock, oh, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Oh, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what I love about the Psalms? A lot of times they start out in a discouraged way, but by the time they get to the end of that song, and the psalm is a song, by the time they're to the end of the song, their faith is restored. Amen. They've been quickened again by God's Spirit. They've been lifted up in their countenance. Amen. You know, I want to tell you something before we get into the message and the word tonight. If you can just learn to praise God a little bit, amen? When you're feeling down, when you're feeling downcast, when you're going through discouragement, start praising the Lord, amen? And God can turn things around. His Spirit will start quickening your heart, amen? Amen. And He can turn that oppression, and it will have to flee in Jesus' name. Tonight's message, emotional victory. Emotional victory. How many of us know you and I as a child of God, we get battered and battled in the realm of our emotions, every one of us, yours truly included, amen? Amen. But tonight again, we've ministered this about a year ago, but we're going to retitle it because it always comes out a little different anyway, and we're going to call this emotional victory. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, again, I'm glad to be in God's house tonight with your people. And Lord, we rejoice in you tonight, Lord. And we thank you tonight for all good things. We thank you for the victory we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood of the cross. And we thank you for all good things tonight, Lord. Father, be with us as we go forward in you tonight. Anoint the teacher, Lord. Anoint his voice, Lord. Let it be, Lord, as we speak of the oracles of God. Bless the live stream. Give them their portion. Open every heart in this house, Lord. And tonight, we just want to praise you and thank you for all good things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Psalms 42 is a very interesting psalm. I've read it dozens of times, and it just gladdens my heart every time I read through it. The history of that psalm, like I said earlier, most theologians believe that King David had written that psalm for the sons of Korah. Now, who was Korah? Korah was the man that rebelled against Moses, saying, hey, Moses, we can hear from God too, you know. Amen. Even though God was working through Moses as the leader to bring those people out of Egypt's bondage, Korah raised up when in the midst of that congregation. It kind of happens in churches today. You see that where somebody or a group of people will rise up and they'll say, you know, that things aren't going the way we want them to go. And we hear from God too. Who are you, pastor? You see, it's that internal rebellion within. And what happens then is that God had to bring judgment on the man. And the Bible says that the man was consumed and God dealt with him. The earth opened up. I mean, it was just a terrible day for Korah. But his descendants went on here. And this is a song for them. I don't know why, per se. And we're really not getting into that heart of it. But we're seeing David. And I believe he's writing from the time he was running from Absalom, his son. David had issues in his life. David, even though he was a man after God's own heart, David, we see in his writings that David was an emotional man. He had extreme highs in the Lord, but he had extreme valleys low too. And it's all penned out in the scripture. You know, and that's all put there to encourage us today, because many times you and I as believers, we're human beings, my friend. We live this life in a fallen world. Life, it rains on the just and on the unjust at times. There are days things are going good. There are days things are going really bad. And where does it affect us? Always in the realm of the emotions. And we see that in King David. This man loved God, but yet David at times can be on a mountain peak in an adulation before God. And very few people have seen the spiritual highs that we see in David. But we've also realized very few people have seen the spiritual lows that David has had too. And David is in a low point in his relationship with the Lord, as because of his sin with Bathsheba, there was a rebellion in his children, and Absalom, being one of the eldest sons, basically was trying to overthrow his father's throne and take over as king. And David, for a season, fled out of Jerusalem because David didn't want to confront the lad. And, you know, we're not going to get into the reason why he didn't do that. But David is on the run, and David is he's broken down. He's grieving. He's hurt. He's at a low point. Things aren't going the way they should. In fact, David don't even have a guarantee at this point that God is going to restore him back to the throne. David, in his mind, and Satan so accusing his heart, that you have so messed up, David. You have so blown it. You have so transgressed against God and your family and your people that God is done with you, basically. And so David fled, and out of that comes this psalm, Psalms 42. But David would say, even though I'm going through all this and my soul is so cast down, God, I got to have you. God, I don't know why this is all going on, but I got to have you, Lord. I got to have Christ in my heart. You see, and this is so beautiful. Here's a man running from his failure, running from God. He didn't have to run from God, but he was. And his emotions were low, but yet the man in that low point says, God, my heart longs for you. In the midst of my grief and my sin and my pollution, in the middle of my pig pen, and I've made a mess of my life. But God, will you hear me? My heart longs for you. It pants for you. You see, that's a prayer that will always be answered by the Lord. When you and I come to a sincerity of heart and faith, no matter what it is we're going through, no matter how much, even if we've climbed Fool's Mountain, even if we've made mistakes, if we just in our heart yearn for God, God, I got to have your touch. I got to have your hand upon my life. And God, can you do something for me? God will hear that. God will hear that cry of the heart. And God will shower you with his peace. Amen. But David is coming through this emotional point in his life. Now, let's look at this for a moment. Emotions. Let's talk about emotions. Number one, we got to realize as human beings, we feel things. We feel things. There's not a day that you don't get up and you feel something. Woe to us when we don't feel no more. Amen? You know, they say, what is it when, is it with hypothermia or what is it when you can't sweat no more or something? And they say that's a dangerous place to be. I'm not sure. Or no, heat exhaustion, when you stop sweating. Amen. You're in a dangerous place. That means your body can't feel and react to what's really going on no more. But we're human beings. We feel things, and feelings are part of life. Emotions are part of life. God gave us emotions. Even God has emotions. God can be happy. God can be grieved. God can be angry. These are emotions. God is emotional. We are created in the image of God, in his likeness. Amen. So emotions in themselves are not wrong. They are a right thing. But we feel things as human beings. Amen. Amen. Listen to this. Emotions are part of the soul of man that feels. Man is a tripart being, body, soul, and spirit. The body is obvious. This is our flesh. This is our earth suit. This is you living in this earth suit. Amen. Our earth suit isn't this outer clothing. It's the physical body. That's our body. That's the first part of man. The second part of man is his soul. The soul of man is the part of man is the emotional part. It's the seat of the passions and cravings. It's the part of man that feels. Oh, my soul, why art thou disquieted in me? He's talking about my soul is low. My soul is feeling grief. It's that seat of the passions. My soul longeth for God. That's a seat of the passions. The physical body, the soul of man is the part that feels. It's the emotional part of man. The spirit now, the third part of man, that's our intellect. That's our part that knows. Amen. That's the part that reasons. That's our faculty of reasoning and understanding. That's our mind. That's our intellect. So understand, when you understand the body part, the soul part, and the spirit part, that man is made up as a tripart being, you begin to understand the makeup of man a little more. Amen? Hallelujah. So understand that. We're made that way. God made us with our emotions. But our emotions will set our moods, whether good or bad. Amen. You get up not feeling the best. You ever get up ornery? That's an emotion. You ever get up mad? That's because something didn't get resolved the night before. Amen. We're not to let the sun set on our anger. Amen. Amen. A lot of times, or we get up, we start thinking about something. But, you know, understand, emotions are real things. And you got to realize that our emotions set our moods. When you're happy, your emotions are happy. When you're sad, your emotions have brought you down. There's a grief. There's a hurt, a pain there. Amen. And understand that tonight. God made us that way. Emotions are indicators that will reveal trouble or it will tell us all is well. Amen? When you and I are at peace in Jesus, we have the peace God surpasses all understanding. Normally, our emotion is a happy condition of what we call joy. Amen? The joy of the Lord is your strength. What's he talking about? That is a position in Christ that we by faith have surrendered to and are resting in by faith in Christ and his finished work. So I have a justifying peace. And when I have that peace, there's a general joy in my spirit. That's an emotion of joy and happiness. The emotion isn't the cause of it. The joy causes the emotion of it. Amen. Like we were trying to share, I was sharing with an individual today, talking to him about just getting back that foundation of truth. Satan will kick your emotions all over the board. You got to get back to that truth. You got to rehearse truth. You got to get back to rehearsing who you are in Christ, even if you got to preach to yourself sometimes. Let that spoken truth come out of your mouth. Say, wait a minute, I'm a blood-washed child of God. God is going to take care of me. He that began a good work is going to perform that work. My name is written in heaven's book. I know God is never going to leave me, never going to forsake me. Amen? Amen. And that joy, unless there's a sin issue that you're not dealing with, if we will just bring that to the Lord, he'll forgive it, he'll cleanse it, and give us joy. God wants his people, and when you have joy, that emotion shows itself in a happiness. Amen. That's what the Queen of Sheba, when she came to Solomon and looked at his kingdom and saw all his servants, he said, happy are this thy people. Amen. You know, my heart's desire, when we're preaching truth and people are finding the truth in the gospel and finding victory and liberty and freedom, that there's a joy in the house of God. So when a visitor comes in, they sense God's people are happy. These people don't have a gun to their head. These people are not being forced to attend the house of God today. They're there because they want to be. Amen. There's a freedom, a liberty. Happy are thy people. Amen. And so understand this thing of emotion. They're indicators that will reveal trouble or all is well. Or sometimes you get that feeling. We don't live by feelings, but feelings are real. We got to address it. I know my wife was, I say this very carefully, but she was kind of brought up in a Christian circle that they squelch anything emotion. You know, even in a worship service, I mean, if the people clap when somebody sings a song, you know, well, that's given praise to man, not God, you know, and we don't do that, you know. And so I'm thinking, you can't squelch people reacting to the good things of God that are going on around them. Amen. But there are times that even in that realm of the emotion, we get that feeling like something isn't right. Something is wrong. Do you ever feel a loved one is in trouble and you get that heavy feeling in your spirit? You know, how do you know? It's not always a literal voice. God says, your grandson is in trouble. Pray for him. You feel a heaviness, and it affects your emotion, and it lets you know, and sometimes you'll feel in your spirit that this is what it's about, and I need to go to God with this. So emotions are indicators. When you're angry, that emotion is an indicator something is up, something is wrong, something has provoked a person to that anger. Unless they got an anger problem. That's a different thing. But anger is a justifiable emotion when it is held in check and it's not sinned with. Hello? Anger has its place. But it's an emotion. And it's an indicator. Amen. Some of us, when we don't get our way, it's called block goals. Anger will come. I didn't get my way. I'm angry. I don't want to do that now. I'll do that later. Not now. Right? And that anger gets in there, you know. Those are indicators. Emotions, right? So as we understand emotions, that God made man with emotions, but emotions can add joy and excitement, or they can darken our day. Amen? I'd rather have the joy of the Lord. I'd rather be happy. I'd rather be up than down. Amen? I'd rather have my emotions in a good place. Amen? Amen? Because listen, a person that lives in grief, unforgiveness, sin issues, they will prematurely age. It will stress them. And they say a lot of cancers are caused by stress. And a lot of arthritises are spawned because of grief, unforgiveness, grudges, bitterness in the spirit. See, And we got to deal with these things because our emotions will give that away. Amen. Ever hear the old cliche, give your face a break and smile a little bit? It takes more muscles to frown and to hold on to a bitter spirit than it does to smile and be happy. Amen. That's a scientific fact. So as a child of God, we have no excuse, according to Scripture, to be grudgeful and full of bitterness and resentments, because it will mess up your physical body part and your spirit man. And people will not see joy or happiness. They'll see an emotion of that person is soured. There's a sourness. There's an anger about that person. See, it gives way in your countenance through that realm of emotion, right? Amen? So these are serious things that if we really look at it, emotions are so powerful, they can cause great exploits or they can plunge one into despair. We can be up and run through that troop, leap over the wall, amen? Or we can be like Elijah, running for our life, saying, God, just take me home, nothing better for me than to die. Amen? You find them in your Bible. David said, man, I can run through a troop, leap over a wall. You know, should the Lord tarry? And we really get a revival going here and something really starts happening. Pastor Jeff's going to run down this aisle one time and I'm going to leap up into that balcony. You watch. Amen. You say, no way, Pastor. I say, well, I can't do that myself, but sometimes I feel like, man, I can run through a troop, leap over that wall, man. So that's why I say every time I quote that scripture, I always look at that. I thought, one day, somehow, I wish God would just help me just to run and leap up over that, amen. You know, but that's talking about a mountain peak experience, amen. And there are those times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. God will give us those times, amen. But there are times where life and despair and hurt and confusion can overwhelm the child of God, can overwhelm the believer, and we would think death is sweet at times, especially when you feel imprisoned in a circumstance you can't change. And you got to depend on God to bring you through or to bring you out. Amen? See, but these are real emotions. Emotions can leap us over a wall, or we can run and ask God to just take us home. It'd be better to go to the grave. But emotions can change with the wind, or through Jesus Christ, become stabilized and solid. Amen? That's what I want us to see. Emotions. You know, I think one preacher used to call it our fickle emotions. Emotions can be fickle things. All right, but emotions can change with the wind. They call it mood swings. Amen. And we're not getting down on anybody. We're just saying that's real. Those things are real. I mean, how many times even can be up in faith and God's blessing you and you're happy and joyous. A minute later, news comes to you or an attack of the enemy, and you go from that crescendo on a mountaintop, and boy, you feel like you've just been knocked off of Mount Everest and you fell all the way into the valley, into the crevice. Amen? See? So understand that life can hurl those things at us, especially when you're joyous and you're up in the Lord. Satan don't like that. He wants to attack your faith and at least, if anything, make your day miserable. Amen? The powers of hell, the powers of darkness want to take the child of God down that he stops or she stops believing. Amen? Believing because he always attacks our faith. Emotions can lie to us and they can produce fear and anxiety. That's why Paul would tell Timothy, God hath given us a spirit of love and a power and of a sound mind. Remember the man of Gadara? I love his example. This man was naked. He was out of his mind, demon-possessed. The scripture tells us this man had 2,000 demon spirits plagueing his inner man. I'll tell you what, one or two is too many. But 2,000? And he was in the tombs cutting himself. He had a suicidal spirit. They tried to tame him, chain him up, and he'd break the chains. But Jesus, there was something in that man's head, and this is beautiful. Jesus just didn't come to a man who was out of his mind because the man is crazy and without me, the man will die lost. That's part of it. But I believe in this man's condition, the man didn't want to be in this condition. There was a cry in that heart that I feel God the Father recognized and sent Jesus Christ to that man. Because even in that insane condition, there was something crying out in that soul. God, I don't want to be like this. But I can't help it. You know, he opened a door, evidently, that somehow the powers of hell, that's why you got to be careful what doors you open in your life. Amen. Amen. And the Word of God tells us to gird up the loins of our mind. But here's a man that after Jesus cast those devils out, in the emotional realm of this man, they came and they saw him, the city come out after the swine ran off the brink of the hill. And the Bible says they saw this man. He was sitting, he was clothed, and I love this, and in his right mind. Amen? He was clothed, he was sitting, and in his right mind. Thank God for the provision of Jesus Christ by his grace that can bring a stability to our emotions, amen, and to our inner man. That is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, to stabilize your and my emotional well-being, amen. Hallelujah. That we don't have to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, every little thing, every little wind of difficulty or circumstances. And this is where I just love the work of God's grace, that he brings more of a steadiness to us over time as we embrace Christ in the finished work of the cross by faith. He works, like in prayer, we said tonight, he that begun a good work is performing that work. He's still performing. I've been saved 32 years. He's still performing that work. And he has no intent of letting up. He's going to work on me until he calls me home. He has promised that. He's going to perform that work and complete that work in you and in me as long as we abide in him by faith. Hallelujah. So it can only get better, amen, by the grace of God. So the emotional thing, the emotions are part of real life. Emotions can lie to us, produce fear and anxiety, the spirit of fear. Or emotions can propel one into crimes of passion or sinful activity. Amen, you see it all the time. Liz and I enjoy these documentaries they show where a crime was committed. Now the detectives come in and now they got to figure out with the evidence who did it and why they did it. Most of the time, you realize when a murder happens, most of the time, it's sometimes premeditated, but it's an emotion that got out of control. Do you know, I'll bet you 70% of the people in the prison system are there because there was no control of their emotion, and they went in that moment of exhilaration or wherever they were in, that depression, despondency, and went out and played the fool. And many of them will be the rest of their life in prison because their emotions got out of control and they reacted. You ever react to something without thinking? Because your emotions were pricked? Amen. So it's a real problem, even for the believer. Amen. They can propel us into crimes of passion or sinful activity. I always say it this way. When you want to get victory over certain vices in your life, when there's things besetting sin, and listen, we're all in that same boat. Paul said we all have a sin that does easily beset us, okay? But the victory over that sin that easily besets us, when he was talking about that, let me read my note again here. The sinful activity that it tries to lead us to is the emotion feels when you're trying to overcome it, Satan will work on your heart and get you in a discouragement, get you feeling low, get you feeling like what's the use, get you feeling like God is a million miles away, get you feeling like, well, this gospel don't work, it works for others but not me. And when you're in that feeling of that low spot, you cast off restraint because at that moment you just don't care. Oh, it's quiet. But we hit pay dirt with that comment, amen? When do we sin? When do we do what we know is wrong scripturally? When we're low and there's no resistance in our spirit. When we're living a lie, believing a lie, and our emotion is working to bring us to the point where I just don't care. I don't care. And I'm going to do what my flesh wants. And I go and I launch into it, and well, the rest is history. whatever that is. Amen? And where is Satan working? That realm of the emotions. Yes or no? The person that binges on food. I don't want to use the word glutton because sometimes that's what the Bible calls it. But let's say, for example, the person that binges will instead of having a spoon of ice cream, gets despondently low and grabs the bucket and gets a spoon. Okay. All right. You kind of know. You know what I mean? You know, chocolate. Okay. All right. Amen. Or we'll pound down 15 hamburgers and clean themselves out in the bathroom and come back out and finish the job. Have more. You know, the reason I'm using that, why does a person do that when they know it's harmful to their health? Because the enemy of their soul, their faith, was lifted off of Christ and his shed blood and the victory he's won for them. And they're in unbelief at that moment, and the flesh man takes over, and it works through the realm of the emotion. It gets you so low because in your mind, Satan is saying, where's your God? Like our Psalms tonight. Where's your God, David? Come on, David. Where's your God now? You're running from your son. You're running from Absalom. You're supposed to be God's anointed king. You don't even know if you can get back to the throne once you leave here. You know, I mean, accusing it. David got so low. And you know what, David? That man of God. After his sin with Bathsheba, after his repentance, feeling the guilt, he saw what the consequences were. God said it's going to hit your family, you know. And then David, what does he say? He didn't say, "Dave, or I, God, I can't live this thing." He said, "Lord, I just long for you." Amen. I can't get myself out of this, but God, I long for your presence. Amen. See, that emotion can be turned into great joy. As we learn at those low points. And listen, friend, we all have that low point that is that doorway into that vice, into that besetting sin. And we're trying to preach you the emotional victory tonight. It's not so much we're here to say, oh, look at you, look at you. No, we're saying, okay, we see you, now let's come out of it. Let's see the Lord turn this around for me. Let me start getting some victory so when I'm in those moments of despondency, I don't eat the bucket of ice cream. Amen? Amen? That God gives me victory over it where I just throw the spoon back into the sink, put the bucket away back in the freezer, and maybe have a cone or, you know, maybe two. But, you know, amen. I'm starting to get victory. And Satan don't have a foothold in my life there like he used to. This is how we overcome. And that's just one example. Amen. Hallelujah. And you can fill in the blank. I said the bucket of ice cream, gluttony. You know, you can take any of the vices, and it's the same thing. When do men sin? When do men backslide? When do people leave? When they feel low and they don't care. That's an emotion. That is an emotional decision at that point. See? Amen. Hallelujah. And those things are real. So emotions are the doorway by which Satan can get an advantage of the believer. Emotions also can inspire unbelief of heart and push one to the worldly cures. When I'm low, when I'm despondent, when I can't get my faith in Christ and his finished work, and that's when I start, and unfortunately, much of the evangelical church and spirit-filled churches should know better, but they do it. They farm you off to the psychiatrist, and that psychiatrist talking to him 10 minutes, charging you $500, and says, and we'll put you on an antidepressant that'll cost you $300 a month for the rest of your life, probably. Amen. We turn to the world's cures for why I'm feeling this way. Right? You're going to turn to something. In our psalm, David turned back to God. He could have cast off God and said, I so messed up with God, I'm not worthy to be king anymore, I'm out of here. But no, in that low time, when that emotion is low, what are you turning to? Amen? You're going to turn to something. And I always tell people, listen, when you feel that way, don't run away from God. Run to God. Run to God. Run to Him. Come to Him at that time. He wants you to come back, and He'll renew your faith. He'll renew you. He'll renew your strength. He'll touch you again. He'll take the burden off of you. He'll break that bondage of that negative emotion. He will do that. In a moment's time, He can do that. But you got to bring it to Jesus by faith. Amen? He's not causing that emotion. There's powers that be. There's powers of darkness. There's our own sinful weaknesses that spark these things. Amen? But if we understand that the victory is in the cross, it's already been won, then I got to get to a foundation of faith. So the worldly cures are only a Band-Aid on the cancer. Amen? That's all it can do, because it's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem. Right? Amen. So David, listen to the Psalms here. He was having a real battle with his inward emotions. In the Psalm that we read tonight, he said, "My tears have been my meat day and night. Why art thou so cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Oh, all your waves and billows are gone over me." Talking about that inward storm. "Why have you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" You've said that before. I've had those thoughts before at a low point. Come on. Amen. Come on. He that's without sin cast the first stone tonight. Amen. 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 We've all been in those places. My tears, I cry myself to sleep. Why am I cast down? Why am I disquieted? Lord, it seems like the storm is overwhelming me. Why have you forgotten me? Why am I going mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why are my emotions all whacked out? See, that's what he's saying. But David also knew the remedy, hope and praise. Hope and praise. Amen. That's why in the same psalm, he said, "Oh, hope thou in God." He was talking to himself. Soul, hope thou in God. There are times, my friend, you're going to have to do this. I have to do this at times. Sometimes the powers of darkness are so arrayed against the believer, you've got to quote the scripture. You've got to rehearse with yourself who you are in Jesus Christ. Amen. You got to take the upper hand by faith and acknowledge what you are in Jesus and what He has done for you. Amen. Amen. There are times you got to tell yourself, wait a minute, He began a good work in me. He's going to perform it. Amen. And David did, that's what he did in this psalm. He talked to himself. He said, "Soul, hope, put your hope in God." He said, "I will yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." He said, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." You see, David began in defeat and discouragement, but he ended up in victory. Amen? And how did he get there? By quoting the truth, by standing on the truth, by getting his faith off of the problem, the failure, the misery, the emotion of it, and getting himself, girding up the loins of his mind and saying, "Wait a minute, I am a blood-bought child of God. I belong to Jesus Christ. He is my Savior, my King, my Lord, and my God. He has saved me. He has come into my heart. I have the victory through His cross. His blood was shed for me. Thank God for the victory I have in Jesus Christ." Listen, I'm here to say sometimes you got to preach yourself happy. Amen. You got to quote the scripture. Sometimes you got to push through the cloud and stand on the Word of God. The Word of God that can never fail. It's a sure foundation. It'll never let you down. Hallelujah. So the emotions are directly related to what we are meditating upon or thinking upon. Listen, I got to cover this, and I'm trying to close this very quickly here. When you're in those low points and your emotions are really kicking you to the curb, do an emotion check. Do a thought check. I always say that, you know, like if our boys are going through a discouraging time, if they're downcast, first thing I ask them, "What you thinking about? What you meditating on?" You're thinking about something. There's something in your spirit you're dwelling on. Hello, hello, hello. Amen. Amen? You're dwelling on something. You're thinking about something. And it's something that has thrown your emotions into a tail. It's not neutral. It just doesn't come out of nowhere. I'm going, all of a sudden, I just feel this dark cloud all over me. Now, Satan can attack us like that. But there's something going on in that mind. Amen? Come on. I can write the book on this. I'm telling you. Amen. There's something you're starting to dwell on that is stealing your hope, that is telling you you're worthless, you're not going to make it. A circumstance, a situation, a prison, circumstantial, a circumstance, a prison, circumstantial prison, I'll get it right, that you feel there's no way out, and you feel, how can I hate it now? How can I take another day of this? But I remind you, Joseph prospered in his prison. If you can turn to God by faith, God has the key to that prison door. And one day, if you can just get your faith back in Jesus and his shed blood for you, and you can look to Calvary and to the cross and believe that God can turn this thing around and do a thought check. Amen? Let me give you the scripture for it. Hallelujah. Finally, brethren, Paul said in Philippians 4, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, then think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them, Paul said, and the God of peace will be with you. What's Paul saying? Do a thought check. When you're in those moments, when despair is all over you, somehow a door opened and you started thinking about things that is not pleasing to the Lord. There are times I got to repent of my thoughts. Lord, that's not pleasing you. It's not producing faith in my heart. It's trying to get me to accuse God or to circumvent the will of God and to get out of his will by rescuing myself then. And that happens a lot in believers' lives. They make decisions in that low point. And I always say, man, when the storm was going on, there's two times you never make major decisions. On the mountain peak of emotional height and in valley low. You never make major decisions in those moments. You get back up into the plain, up into the meadowland, and you get your thoughts together where it's not an emotional-based decision. God will never lead you into a major decision of your life on the peak of emotion or in valley low. Amen? Now, when the will of God is revealed to you in that you might go into that peak of emotion because, hallelujah, I know where God is going to take me now. I know where, you know, that's all right. But you got to do a thought check. Ask yourself, and let me ask you this, hold one another accountable. You that are married, hold yourselves accountable. When you're in those modes, what you dwelling about? What you thinking on? Are you thinking on what's lovely, what's pure, what's just, what's good, what's right? If there's any virtue to this, what Paul is saying, listen, there's enough negative. Just look for the one little flicker of goodness. Look for the one little piece of good in the midst of that. Amen. The man of Gadara, I believe God saw one little piece of good. There was a cry, a flicker of a cry probably in that heart and soul. God, help me. Amen. And God came in and gave him that which he requested. Got his mind back. Got his life back. Amen. Hallelujah. He could be restored to society. Paul said it this way, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And now listen to this. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Boy, that's a mouthful. What Paul is saying, do a thought check, amen? Cast down thoughts that are not pleasing to the Lord and are not edifying your spirit, amen? And when you start dwelling on negative thoughts and it starts bringing you down, revenge them by thinking good things. What's lovely, what's pure, what's just, what's righteous, that there be any virtue, be any praise. Because by your negative thoughts, you're not going to change nothing. It'll produce fear and anxiety and frustration and an unrighteous, unholy anger or wrath. Only God can turn some things around. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against people. It's a spiritual problem. Amen. But cast down those thoughts that you can get back in faith, and then God can go to work and fix the problem. Amen. That's why this is so important. Hallelujah. Unbelief of the mind and heart can cause a stronghold of Satan in one's heart. Paul instructed Timothy, he said, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Too many believers oppose themselves. It's a nice way Paul's saying, most believers are their own worst enemy. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he's saying. We are our own worst enemy. So what do? Paul said, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now listen to what he tells them to do. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Amen? When somebody is opposing themselves, they're believing lies. They're allowing what they're dwelling on to bring their emotions to a crash. Amen? And because they've been brought low in those emotions, guess what's happening? They're getting to be out of control in their emotional realm. Paul said now that they're opposing themselves in meekness. The Bible says don't rebuke an angry man lest he rend you. When somebody's in the peak of unless he needs a good broadside across the jowls, you know, you just let the thing calm down. But he said in meekness instruct them. Instruct them. I'm instructing you tonight in meekness. And I'm saying there's hope. There's help. But it's bringing you in your faith back to its proper object of faith, Jesus in him crucified. And he said, by acknowledging the truth and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. When Satan works in that realm of the emotion, when you're brought low, that's where he works. He works in that realm. You ever notice that? What breaks up homes? What breaks up families? What discourages children? You ever see children raised in an atmosphere where there's fighting and hating and those kids are beat down verbally? Yeah, some of you have been through that. Some of you know people, you know. And it's going to take a miracle of God. But God can strengthen those children that they can grow up normal. Amen. Amen. But what he's saying here, they're taking snare. They recover themselves out of the snare of the devil or taken captive by it as will. He's saying that by if they could just acknowledge that truth again. The truth of what? Who I am in Christ. That emotions don't have to lord over my life. That I can do a thought check. And by a readiness to revenge all that disobedience by truth. Getting them back to truth. You know, this is true deliverance ministry. Years ago, we thought deliverance ministry, everybody had a demon of gluttony, a demon of anger, a demon of lust, a demon of greed. And so what will we do? We get the poor child of God who's already spirit-filled according to Scripture. They are free in Christ. They just got to learn how to put their faith in Christ and his finished work. And by God's grace, God will deliver over time, get that stuff out of that person's life. But we thought we had to lay hands on them, pray them in the kingdom come, and let the power of God hit them, knock them flat on their back, and when they got up, oh, now they're free. That can happen on occasion. There are times a power encounter is needed. But 98% of the time, men need a truth encounter. Acknowledge the truth. This is true deliverance ministry. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Amen. That means when you're dealing with somebody difficult up there, screaming at them, condemning them, howling at them, whatever we do to vent out is never going to change anybody. Amen? And again, if somebody needs to be slapped aside the head because there's that calls for that, then that's what it calls for. But that's rare. And don't do that and don't say pastor's saying it's right to beat people. I'm not saying it's right to beat people. But there are times that child needs to understand what that backside God gave him, what that can be for at times. Amen? And, you know, when it's done properly and in love, it will instruct. It will instruct in a good way. Amen? But God wants us free. And he wants us to have victory in our emotions. Even God said in the Old Testament, through Hebrews here, he said, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. They always err in their heart. They have not known my ways." They err in their heart. They err in their heart. When I allow my emotions to control me and I get out of faith, I'm erring in my heart. Amen. But once I learn the way of God, and the way of God is the cross, is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on my behalf. That's God's way. And when I learn that way, when I get into those emotional situations and I get bound up and bottled up, then I'm realizing that now it's a battle of faith. And I get my mind back on the crucified, on the finished work, who I am in Jesus. Amen. And I revenge all that disobedience, and I stop erring in my heart. Amen. And I start walking again in faith, which produces stability of spirit and of life. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I think I got it here. Let me just tidy this up. So the believer is to maintain daily faith in the cross and follows Paul's advice in Philippians 4. When you're struggling, when you're down, how do I get out of those valleys? Paul said it this way, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men." Oh, the Lord is at hand. He's near. "Be careful or anxious over nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. Hallelujah. There's victory and there's hope for all of us. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Hallelujah.